there's nothing that's going to stop me. You know, there's nothing that's going to go, oh, well, that's that then. Even if it gets voted down next year.
Yeah.
I don't even care, to be honest. It's people representing the alcohol industry. Mm. And who are we? We are people, for us, I'm not even doing it for us. For us, it's too late. We lost Liam.
Yeah.
To do it in my son's honor, it means everything. But even if not, in my opinion, as a martial artist, that's what martial arts is truly about. Well, I don't care if I get viewed as a failure. As long as I get viewed as someone that worked hard, like, of course you want to succeed, but at least someone can say, well, he didn't make it, but he fucking tried.
Yeah.
Someone asked me in an interview saying, how do you prepare for that? And I said, you don't prepare for it, you decide. And Dima made a good comment. It's a saying that's really true. It's saying, people's eyes have never gotten me far in life. And that's very, very true. In the end of the day, people's admiration or, you know, the way they view you matters a lot less than the way you view yourself. Mm. You can be your own champion.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. I love meeting incredible human beings and sharing their amazing life journeys. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. This show is a really special one. It's in honor of Liam Mikael Kovall, the happiest kid I've ever known. September 4th, 2016, Liam passed away, just 15 months old. He was hit by a drunk driver. Liam will love you and will keep fighting and honor your name. Today's guest is Liam's father, Marcus Kovall, one of the most incredible men I've ever met. He's a decorated fighter, a fitness entrepreneur, author, podcast host, activist, and father of Liam, Nico, and Luna. Let's welcome the martial artist and the activist, Marcus Kovall. Welcome, Marcus.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to sit down and talk to you. And I don't know if you know this, but you're one of my biggest role models. You're such an incredible human being and has played such an amazing part in my life. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you. It means a lot. You know, you work hard and you hope that it will help someone, and I know how much you help other people. So thank you very much. That's great.
Yeah, it truly does. And I just want to go, obviously you've been here a couple of times. The last time we did a podcast was in your gym. We celebrated the 100th episode and did a fundraiser for Liam. So can we just talk a little bit, what has happened since the last time we spoke? You're fighting for Liam's law. Can you just kind of talk a little bit about that and what's happened since last time we spoke?
A lot have happened, and I always try to, I got to start writing it down, because I don't, first and foremost, and I should. But the biggest thing is having the bill introduced, which is how you start the beginnings of changing a law. So if you want to, which in our case, we're trying to lower the blood alcohol content from 0.08 to 0.05. The introduction of the bill is either introduced on the Senate side. Here's a quick crash course on politics.
Yeah.
Either on the Senate side or the Assembly member side. This bill was introduced on the Assembly member side, but it was sponsored by a senator as well, to lower the BAC from 0.08 to 0.05 in California. And it was introduced as Liam's law. And it was introduced by Assembly member Autumn Burke, but it was also co-sponsored by Assembly member Flora, who's Republican, Burke is Democrat, and Senator Hill as well, which shows that this is a bipartisan issue. It's not about whether you're Democrat or if you're a Republican, if you're a liberal or if you're a conservative. Drunk driving doesn't segregate between anything. It doesn't care what color of your skin. It doesn't care what religion you practice. it kills innocent people. On the national level, someone is killed every 49th minute or every 43rd minute. And in California alone, three people are killed every single day. So we know how important this fight is in order to save lives. It's been proven because it's been done in more than 100 countries. But we also know that we have a lot of opposition ahead of us. And we know who they are, the American Beverage Institute. And it's insane that they're allowed to do what, basically they have more blood on their hands than any terrorist, American blood, than any terrorist organization that we are worried about, whether it be ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Stopping us from lowering the BAC, which would save some 10 to 11% of 10,000 lives taken a year. So over 1,000 lives a year. And but we also realized that we want this on the national level. We want it to be on the federal level. So because if we only work in one place, they have a lot of money, but they don't have a lot of people. So it's almost like guerrilla warfare. So we're starting a lot of little fires in different places. So far, the bill has been introduced in Oregon, Michigan, and I was in New York in May to introduce it in New York as well. So that's by far the biggest, milestone.
How do you deal with, you're fighting for this, you're running your businesses, you have Nico and Luna now as well, and you're dealing with grief of your son. It's been 3 years now. Like, how do you get the energy to go out and do this every day? Because we meet people every day who basically don't gone through any of this, but still complaining that I can't do it, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough energy. Like, how do you deal with all this?
That's a good question. I don't know. I was with one of our coaches who's a several time world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He asked yesterday, he said, how do you have so much energy? And I honestly don't know. My mom said, she goes, when you were little, there wasn't all these acronyms, ADHD and such. But she said, I'm sure you would have been on the spectrum if you were born today. But at the same time, I actually don't think I am, because I can sit down, I can focus, I can read a book. I have no problems doing that. I honestly, one of the things, and this is way before Liam, but obviously intensified because of Liam, is I really enjoy life. I really, really do. And I want to be part of things. Like, I love the energy of humans. I love to be part of things and to be able to be part of making a difference, of changing something. Now, to do it in my son's honor, it means everything. But even if not, in my opinion, as a martial artist, that's what martial arts is truly about, is bettering yourself. Like, if you look at fighting is the tip of the iceberg when it comes to martial arts. The rest of what's below what martial arts, and I don't have to tell you, you know all about it, but how it improves you as a human being, your relationships, your mental fortitude, you know, all of it is at least part of it because of martial arts. So that's the duty of a true martial artist, in my opinion, to be the best towards yourself and towards your community as well. And I don't want to miss out. I want to make sure, you know, I haven't told anyone this yet, but I was sitting and I was doing some soul searching, I guess, not because I feel like I need to change anything, but just kind of curious to what you were just asking. What is it that drives me? What is it that makes me tick and keep going? And the famous why question, keep asking yourself why, but why, but why? And I got to the base that my biggest fear is to one day look back at my life and go, you could have done a lot more. You didn't do enough. Or to be viewed by other people as someone that was lazy, that didn't do enough. And it's kind of, maybe it's crazy because I know deep within that I'm not lazy, but I have the days where I'm like, I didn't do enough today. Yeah. I feel like I was lazy today. Yeah. But that's what drives me. And then I realized from, I mentor people, I do, like, I hate using the term life coaching, but I call it personal coaching because I'm a coach of someone.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing one of the biggest fears that people often have is the fear of failure, the fear of ridicule, of looking like embarrassment and shame. Well, you got to find that deep driving force and or what ticks you, right? Yeah. So it can either be your fuel or it can be your crutch, yeah, where you're like, I can't do that because my biggest fear is to be viewed as a failure. Yeah. Well, I don't care if I get viewed as a failure. As long as I get viewed as someone that worked hard, yeah, like, of course you want to succeed, but at least someone can say, well, he didn't make it, but he fucking tried.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do, right? Because you can never, you can look to someone who has had success and you go, all right, did well, congratulations, but either you were, say for example, you were given the money or you got lucky, right? And it's the same thing when you look at a fight. If you see someone that wins by knockout and wins the title in the first round, in the first minute, you can go, oh, wow, really amazing, or was it a lucky punch? What if it would have been, or if you see a 5-round war when you get tested, your grit, your heart, and you go, that's the champion. Yeah. One is, of course, much better, much easier, but in my opinion, to even if you lose that fight, you're a champion in my eyes because you gave it your all, and you can't not respect the person that gave 110%.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. The hardest part that I have, I've been working on that now, but I remember when I was younger and competing in karate, some of my first international tournaments, I got owned completely, which means that I felt ridiculed in a way, you know, and I felt like I was worth nothing.
I remember reading that, yeah, in your book, yeah.
So the question, what I did, I kept going because I had this goal of continuing, but I saw so many people that stopped at that, yes, moment. And I think a lot of people, they do that. They have a dream and they say, I'm going to go after this. I'm going to try. And they try and they fail miserably, but they don't continue. Can we just talk about what happens in the mind in that moment, if you have had any experience, and what made you push through to actually try again?
That's interesting. I've always been stubborn. Yeah. I've always been stubborn since I was a little kid. And there's pros and cons with everything, right? It's a blessing and a curse at the same time. Because when I was younger, I was hard-headed. I was bonehead at times, where it was very difficult to tell me, ask my parents, especially my dad. He would tell you, you know, I was difficult to tell, and I can only really learn from my own mistakes. But that's who I am as a human being. And looking back at many things, I could have just gone, yep, that's what my dad told me, yeah, or someone else, that's what this book told me, or that mentor told me, you know. But I had to learn from my own mistakes. And then same thing there, you can go, oh, I failed, I should have been smarter than that. Of course, if you keep repeating the same mistake, that's a different story. But I think a lot of times people, you get to a breaking point. Everyone will get to that breaking point. The difference between someone that succeeds and someone that doesn't is someone that says, I'm not going to stop. Someone asked me in an interview, actually, when I did the 24 hours jiu-jitsu and set the world record in doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which was just beaten this year, actually, by a guy, a special forces guy from England.
How many hours did it
be? He did 24 hours too. But he did more rounds during, okay, those 24 hours. I only did 105 and he did more. But I might come back and beat that. The main difference was they did it with Guinness Book of Records, and I'm not a big fan of Guinness Book of Records, yeah, because they didn't recognize my first one, even though we did everything the way we were supposed to. But I might go back and break that at some point. But in the end of the day, whether I have it or if he has the record, he did it for a non-profit as well. He did it for a great cause. Hats off to him, you know, what an amazing man. So, but someone asked me in an interview saying, how do you prepare for that? And I said, you don't prepare for it. You decide. You say you're going to do it. And it's something that you got to work backwards. You got to say, okay, what am I supposed to do? This is my goal. This is what I'm going to do. Yeah. Everything that leads up to it is not going to go as I plan it. I'm going to feel, I can't physically or mentally truly, truly prepare myself for it because I haven't done it yet. So I can't know exactly how it's going to feel. What pains am I going to feel? What am I going to struggle with during these 24 hours, for example, or the run that I did just recently? You can't know until you've done it. But each one of those wins gets stuck and is stored in your mind. So next time you try something else, you can go back and go, I've done something more difficult, or I've been in this situation before. I had four guys fight last night before one of the guys fought, who's a young kid, is really talented. And I got to say, I give him a lot of respect for this. He came up to me beforehand and said, Marcus, I'm really nervous. I'm really, really nervous. And I said, we all are before a fight. Anyone that tells you differently is a liar. We all are nervous. We have these voices in our heads saying, what are you doing? Are you insane? Stop this. Yeah. That's your defense mechanism. That's part of what we do. This is how you build your mental fortitude. Yeah. When your head, your mind is telling you, don't do it. And your heart and your soul are saying, we're going to do it anyways. Yeah. That's how you build it. But that doesn't happen overnight. You got to build it up. Just like you train your bicep, it's something tangible. You do it for long enough, you can look in the mirror and you see your bicep get bigger. How do you see your mental fortitude? You can't. But there is only one way of building it. And it's going, and sometimes you fail. And if you stop, you don't build it. But if you continue, and if you fail again and again and again, maybe you never succeed in that specific area. Each time you get back up and try again, you build your mental fortitude.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true. And I was just having this conversation the other day with Camilla, who's producing this show, and We sometimes see all those people that are number one, number two, number three in a sport or in a given field, but we forget a lot of times the people that are around for years doing it with their whole heart, but they're never reached maybe the number one in a competition, but they improve a lot, but also they don't get recognized by other people. Like, what do you want to say to those people? Because we always forget about them. We always remember the people that are winners that we see on podcasts, interviews. But what about all those other people that are still good human beings?
That's interesting. You know, I personally, and I think maybe that's why I can do, I've always been a little bit where I would do things, and then, like, I'm from a private family. They are not like me. Yeah. And to them, it would look like, why would you do that when people can see you or watch you or judge you? Yeah. And the truth is, I don't care. Yeah. That's the thing. So, and I think that's really, really important. Like, we live our lives. And a good point yesterday, actually, we were in the changing rooms, and I do these monthly challenges, right? Yeah. So I'm in one corner doing this month we're doing cartwheels. Yeah. I'm doing 100 cartwheels a day, which is, so every month I'm cursing myself because 100 cartwheels is actually a lot. Yeah. And then Dima, that you know as well, who is, you know, leading and coaches the fight team at Systems, and he's doing his own challenge. So he's doing push-ups and squats in one area, and this other guy comes in who's a coach, and he's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, well, we're doing our own thing. It's like, you're that guy, because Dima was really hot, so he's taking his shirt off and he's working out. And he goes, you're being that guy right now, you know, the one that everyone is watching. And Dima made a good comment. It's a saying that's really true. It's saying, people's eyes have never gotten me far in life. And that's very, very true. Like, you can go, oh, I shouldn't do my squats and my sit-ups right now because there's people watching me. Yeah. Who cares? Let them watch. Let them think that you're an idiot. Let them think that you're crazy. Let them think that you're doing it to show off. You're that person. Yeah. But if you're doing it for yourself, if you're doing it for them, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. But if you're doing it for yourself and there happens to be people around, who cares? Who gives a fuck? Yeah. Let them judge. Let them sit at home in the sofas eating chips and judge you. Yeah. And it's like same thing with fighting. When I've been asked this many, many times, aren't you scared? What if you get knocked out? Like, isn't it embarrassing to get knocked out in front of like a lot of people and they see you? No. Yeah. I went in there, I trained as hard as I could, I did my very best, and I happened to get knocked out. It was me and one more person inside of that cage or that ring. And all the thousands or millions of people that are watching, their comments, their opinion, them trying to ridicule you, it doesn't mean anything. Look at Donald Cerrone, for example, Cowboy Cerrone, who's a warrior. He's got more fight bonuses. He's made more money because of it than a lot of other UFC fighters. Never held the title. Been so close. So close. Kenny Florian, who's a good friend of mine, who fought for three titles. Sean Sharkey, BJ Penn, and Jose Aldo. Didn't win on any of them. Is he a loser? No, he's not a loser. It just, there was one other person, one more man that was better than him. But he's still the second best in the world. Like, we got to forget being the first always. Like, you're second best out of how many billions of people do we have on the earth right now? So, you know, I think it's changing the angle of the view of the whole thing, where you're right, there's a lot of people that will never become the champion, right, in whatever sport. But does it matter? That person, you shouldn't be upset with that person. That person is amazing, but you should admire that person, especially if it's in your own sport and you know, I know how hard I worked. Imagine how hard that person has worked. And so it's important to remember that in the end of the day, people's admiration or, you know, the way they view you matters a lot less than the way you view yourself. You can be your own champion, you know, and that's truly, in the end of the day, you can be the best in the world and not be happy. Then it doesn't matter anyways.
I love that. And I just want to tell everybody that, once again, November 3rd, I'm running a half marathon.
I'll join you.
Marcus is going to join me, and we're going to create a fundraiser for this as well, so you guys can donate. I think I'm going to have a Facebook so that you can donate, and we're going to do something on liamslife.org.
Yes.
Everybody can go in there and donate right now already, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I also want to encourage people to run wherever you are in the world. Do a race for Liam and collect some money, and let us know. What do you want to say about this? What more can they do to support us in this?
The book that I wrote, Life is a Moment, 20% of proceeds from there goes to the nonprofit. The short-term answer is don't drink and drive, obviously. Don't let a friend drink and drive. Sign up to be an organ donor. Go to Amazon Smile. It's something, there's a great way. Amazon has a great program. If you go to smile.amazon.com, if you have an Amazon account already, just sign in the way you normally would. And then you can sign up for Liam's Life Foundation. Then every time you buy something from Amazon, not you, you don't have to pay anything, but Amazon donates 0.5% of your sales to the nonprofit. We have some 50, 60 people that've already signed up. We don't take any payment from the nonprofit. It all goes to the fight. But that's what you need as a nonprofit is money. But here's a chance to be part of this without having to do anything. And every time you purchase something, you are part of both making history and saving lives, because that's what we are doing. Because one day, like you said, people are going to look back and go, this is the fight that lowered the blood alcohol content. This is what saved lives. And that's obviously not the end of it. But this Liam's fight, drunk driving, was what we started with. That was a catalyst for our fight. But it's going to continue, because now I can't unsee what I've seen when it comes to American politics. I can't stop now. I've seen too much. And again, as a true martial artist, also just as a good citizen, when you see something that's wrong, you can't accept it, right? You know, whether it be the environment or whatever the fight is, find something to fight for. You know, it's important to work hard, to try to be as successful as you can, but it's more important to enjoy the life that we have and to leave some type of a legacy, right? And that's to be part of making a change, making a difference, do something that you can look back at and to be proud of, right? If you work a 9-to-5 that you don't necessarily love, find something that you have a fire for. Right? Because we have to make a living. We have to live. And if you feel like your job doesn't satisfy you, find something that does satisfy you. That's going to be the fight that's going to make you happier, that's going to make you feel like you live life.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there's been a lot of research about what truly makes you happy. And they came to the conclusion of two things. First of all, service to others. When you give back, it makes you happy. And also learning. So those two things, people that serve others and keep learning are usually very happy people. So if you're not doing that right now in your life, I truly encourage you to start doing that in whatever sense it is. Give back, support Liam's life or something else that's important to you. And learn through these conversations that we have here. Read books, meet people instead of close yourself into this world where nothing is good or you're not good enough. You are good enough. We love you. We want to support you on this journey. And as always, Marcus, I've had an incredible time with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, is there anything else that you want to share before I let you guys go?
No, there's going to be more of these. Like, I can't stop now. Even forget about the fight. Of course, we're not going to stop that. But even myself, you know, and we're already planning the next thing. And we've come to the conclusion, I need to keep pushing myself, like I'm finding ways, and I'm not sure when this is going to come out, but on the 5th of October, I'm doing a super fight in grappling, not MMA, I'm done with MMA, my parents got scared, they thought I was fighting again, but it's not a fight, it's grappling only, but my opponent, we fought once in the finals of the All Americas, he beat me by 2 or 4 points, but it was a really good match. And I didn't know how good it was, actually. He's really good. And he hit me up and said, you know, with all respect, he said, I would love to do this this fight with you. And I want to donate my proceeds to Liam's Life Foundation. And I want to help. That's the only thing that this is about. It's just about raising awareness for the nonprofit. And how can I say no to that first and foremost? And, you know, it's like those moments. Like with you, when you told me that you're going to do this run and call it, you know, Team Remember Liam, those are the things, like, because there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of closed doors. There's a lot of no's. There's a lot of, it's not going to be possible. Yeah. It's going to be possible. We're going to find a way. But when you guys, you shine some light, you add to that hope. To know that there's people out there, there's so many as well. There's so many people that have helped out, that have donated, that support the fight. That's it, you know, that's all we can ask for. And if you live in a state, I'm going to Illinois in November, I think, not the 3rd, to speak up there. And hopefully Illinois is going to be the next state that we get it introduced in. And if you live in a state, it doesn't matter if you live in California as well, we need your help here too. But if you are in a state where you don't have 0.08 and you want to be part of the fight, you can join Liam's Life there as well. And just follow Liam's Life on social media. Every time we have something that we need to take action, people can be part of it there. And that's what makes it so amazing that, yes, this is mine and Michelle's. It was our son who started this movement. But this fight is for everyone that has been affected or lost someone due to drunk driving. And considering that 66% of the US population will at some point be affected by drunk driving, if you haven't, I'm very happy for you. Join this fight before you're affected as well.
Thank you so much, Marcus. Thank you, everybody, that you watched and listened to this episode. Support the journey. We have all the links here so you can be part of this. Also, if you want more amazing conversation with incredible human beings, check us out at ilovesuccess.co. Also, I'll give you a couple of free chapters of my book. There's so many resources that we share for free with you. The only thing I ask from you is to take action and also help us on this journey by sharing this conversation with someone that needs to hear it, that needs to change their life or be a part of something bigger than just complaining every day or not be satisfied with the life you live, because we only have one. So truly make the best out of it. Thank you so much and talk soon.